Welcome back to another edition of What the How. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is a special edition. We're looking at three different things under one big headline. It's about earthquakes, but it's about how to prepare for them, how to survive them, how to recover from them. This is our second part of our serial, and this one has to do with surviving. Let me have you introduce yourselves.
Kevin Miller with the California Office of Emergency Services.
Mark Benthian with the Earthquake Country Alliance.
And the Earthquake Country Alliance is a really kind of interesting, what do you call it? I want to say an organization, but what
we
is
it? We call it a public, private, and grassroots partnership. Everybody coming together. Our slogan is we're all in this together, and all of the partners here today are members and supporters so that we can work together for
But you're not a state agency, right?
We're not. We're actually based at USC.
So how is it that your group formed? What caused the need for your group to form?
I'm based at the Southern California Earthquake Center. My job is to educate the public. And in 2003, we are coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the Northridge earthquake. Everyone's starting to plan their own things. We said, why don't we all come together and work together? And that's when we updated and created updated a booklet we had and created the 7 steps to earthquake safety, which is at earthquakecountry.org/7steps.
And again, earthquakecountry.org, is that on the landing page?
It is.
Now, before we go any further, the reason why we're doing these three serial parts is to break this down into something that's easily digestible.
Yeah.
But what we're looking in the overall is at this new landing page that basically is a place you can go to and you can find any and all of these organizations who can give you things to help you that maybe you don't even realize are available, correct?
That's right.
And that page is at eqheadquarters.com.
So the our page is...
I'm talking about the landing page. The landing page is eqheadquarters.com, and that's where they can find you because there's a button there,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
There's a button, and the resource that we provide there is a booklet called Staying Safe Where the Earth Shakes, and it contains all the details on these 7 steps.
Okay, and we're going to get into that in a second. Yeah. I want to tell you a story, and this is about surviving. When Northridge happened at 4 whatever it was in the morning, somehow I keep blocking out that minute.
4:31.
A second. Thank you. I was laying down, and all of a sudden, a bookcase came down and did a karate chop on my leg. Bam! Just like that. And it hurt like hell. It did.
Yeah.
And I passed out. Boom. Next thing I knew, a neighbor was bringing me to. Mm-hmm. This was an earthquake. Fortunately, that thing didn't hit me in the head, mm-hmm. or I might not be here having this conversation with you guys. This is about surviving, and I survived. But maybe had I been laying a little different way, had mm-hmm. the bookcase come down and cracked me across the skull, it would be a different conversation. So that in mind, everybody can get hurt. People can get killed. They have. And that's why we want to talk right now very, very seriously about surviving and what is involved in doing that. And let me let you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Well, we like to say that everyone everywhere should know how to protect themselves during an earthquake. It's pretty obvious. They need to know what to do. For the most number of people, that action is not to run outside where things are falling off buildings, but to drop where you are. Cover your head and neck. And if there is something you can get under nearby, crawl to get underneath that for additional protection.
So we're sitting at a round table, which has microphones on, I guess we call these gooseneck stands of some kind. And if we had a quake right now, we would all dive under this round table, right?
This is going to provide protection from the ceiling tiles above us that a lot of offices have that are very likely to fall. And maybe this lamp and these other items that might be falling. Most people get injured from falling objects, not falling buildings.
And you can really get creamed. I mean, I've heard of people just getting impaled by things, right?
Yeah. In the most recent earthquake in California where someone died, the Napa earthquake, they didn't die right away, but it was an elderly woman who had fallen asleep in her chair, recliner, and her TV was thrown across the room at her head. And I believe she died a few days later of that injury. If that TV had been secured, as we talked about in the earlier segment, with the right type of straps, she would not have been killed in that earthquake.
And if that bookcase that came down on me and karate chopped my leg, if that had been strapped to the wall and bolted into the wall, I wouldn't have gotten hit by that bookcase.
So it's all the things you do beforehand are really key to, so that you have less to be concerned about during the earthquake. But you're not always in your home where you have secured it. You may be in another place. The other earthquake prior, back in 2003, there were two fatalities. This was up in the Central Coast. And they had run out of the store they were working in, and the brick facade fell on them. So again, running outside, we don't recommend. Trying to get anywhere, we don't want parents to run down the hallway to where their kids are, because they may get injured on the way, and then the kids have to help them.
Now, I'm going to try to draw a picture for you, because I think maybe that'll help. If you duck down and you put your hands over your neck with your elbows out as if they're wings, and then you bend over, you may break your back, but you may not mess up any organs.
Yeah, you want to try to get your elbows in close enough to your head so that they're... I like to put the arm all the way up and then drop it down over your neck, and then you're kind of closer into your head.
It's hard to do when you're my age.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been your age several times, so...
And Hal, that's a really good point. This is kind of like the broadest information. We have information on the Step 5 section of our website, earthquakecountry.org. /step 5 that talks about all the different situations you may be in, including people with disabilities, or just really anyone who, if they were to get down, couldn't get back up on their own. So we say, don't do that. Bend over where you are, cover your head and neck. It's all about adapting to your situation.
But
and
the
we
thing
have lots
is you're
of
trying
info.
To protect your organs, right?
Yeah. By bending over, you are protecting your vital organs. Your spine is actually really good. I mean, things may fall, but it's more important that you're bending over, protecting your vital organs, protecting your head and neck.
So it's better if you break your arm and you don't bust up your kidney, right?
That's right.
Because that's what you're doing. You're protecting your organs. Okay. Now, what's another part of this?
Another part is assessing your situation right after the shaking stops. And you mentioned things had fallen over in Northridge. It was chaotic. I think there were thousands of injuries of people who had stepped on broken glass and materials that had flown around the room. So you want to take a good assessment of your surroundings. You don't necessarily need to evacuate unless there's something serious going on. If you are at the coast, there's a couple of things to think about. You probably don't need to evacuate, except for a couple of situations, which I can mention. And then you want to help yourself and others from injuries and check your surroundings and your structure for further damage.
All right. So for instance, you walk into the kitchen. Everything has come flying out of the cabinets, right? You go, oh, no, not that coffee cup. I'll never be able to replace that. And then you proceed to step on another one that's broken and you cut your foot.
Another thing to consider is if the cupboards haven't all flown open, before you open it, all that stuff could fly out on you.
Just like they tell you on an airplane, when you open
up the
compartment, your suitcase could come flying.
Yeah. Objects may have
shifted. And Hal, based on what you just said, I want to add a really important tip. And it kind of a little bit on the preparedness side, but again, preparing you for when the earthquake happens. And that's take shoes, it could be old shoes, and take a flashlight, put them inside like a drawstring bag, and put that bag under your bed, maybe even have a pair of glasses, because who knows where your glasses may end up being. And then tie that to your bed in some way so that you don't have to be searching around for shoes, so you immediately can put them on. And it's important that their shoes are in a bag because you don't want to get broken glass inside your shoes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
There are stories of people putting their shoes on, stepping up, stepping down into glass.
Now, that's a very, very good tip because we keep flashlights all over the house. Every room, there's some drawer with a flashlight.
Right.
I guarantee you. And there are batteries all over the place. I mean, I could open a store. So, you know, the bottom line is that we do think in terms of not having power and needing to have light. But I hadn't thought about this drawstring idea of protecting your shoes from broken glass and putting your flashlight in there so you have everything in one place. That's really a good idea.
You know where it's at. You don't have to search for it. Because in the earthquake, everything's going to be sloshing around in your space. If you put it next to your bed, it could end up being way under your bed.
I want to hit one area of survival that I think is important. You're not home. You're in your car. What do you do?
So if you're driving during an earthquake, you may not notice it right away, your shocks and everything in your car, but you may notice other people reacting. You want to slow down. You want to pull over. And if you're kind of potentially under a bridge, you want to drive one more second, get out from underneath that bridge, and then you want to basically turn the engine off and wait it out.
Talk to me about the idea of getting in a door jam.
That's a myth that we want to dispel. It's kind of the last
thing
you
want to
do.
It'll get you in a jam, right?
It'll get you in a jam, and the last thing you want is that door slamming on your hand. Right. And you've probably had to move to get there. You don't want to move very far. It's better to get under a sturdy piece of furniture.
You may not be strong enough to hold yourself up. And, you know, we're in a room. There are seven of us or so right now in one door.
And I'm going to be the first one out, by the way. I want that to be clear, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what the hell? So, you know, but here's the thing. What I want you to fill in the blank, because we're going to wrap up this segment here.
Yep.
I'm sure a lot of people have questions. EQheadquarters.com is this great website, and also, every one of these agencies has their own resource as well. So there's a lot of stuff out there for you to learn from. Fill in the blank for me, both you guys. The most important thing I need to do when the earthquake hits and my house shakes all over the place is?
Drop, cover, hold on. And learn about that by going to earthquakecountry.org/step5, all the different ways that you can do that no matter where you are.
And then for protecting your house and all the things you can do to keep those things from sloshing around, you can go to My Hazards. And it'll tell you some actions to do if you live near an earthquake area.
And if you forget these websites, remember the landing page, eqheadquarters.com. And that's something we certainly have on foxla.com as well. Thanks for joining us. We have one more episode in this serial of three. It'll be about recovering an earthquake, and there's a lot of very important information in that. I hope you'll come back. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.